This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 561. I am Brian Kilby, and I did that without laughing. With me this week, I have, in his orange shirt, Chris.
What other color do I have?
Don't you have a brown shirt?
No.
Okay. There's Matt.
Hi.
Diecast.
I got my Captain America shirt on today.
That is really awesome. And Rob.
Hi.
Okay, you mentioned...
What color shirt are you wearing? Blue.
Well, me too. Look at that. So you mentioned the Captain America shirt. I have been harassing my wife, which I know is dumb, to let me get the Infinity Gauntlet movie replica toy coming from Hasbro. And I am, like, hammering that home every single chance I get. And
so is that our project for when we come visit?
Yes. I want to get that and that old prop Captain America shield for my wall, but there's no room on the wall, so I would have to move something.
So, Brian, when I'm at your home and you just happen to, you know, be logged on to Big Bad Toy Store and turn your back for a moment.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, speaking of, so we were going to be at Jolanta this weekend, but something fell through. We couldn't make it. So Diecast and I were going to be there. Rob Springer's still going to be there. Rob is still doing the panel with Dusty Griffin. And we should have that available as a podcast download here next week. But Diecast and I will not be there, unfortunately. But Diecast had a non-refundable ticket, so he's like, okay, well, I'll still fly down. I'd love to hang out. Well, this all happened like after the show last week. And Matt was like, well, if you're going to be there, I could just take the day off and drive. And XV was like, I can do that too. I'll just, yeah.
I can not eat for a week. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go. And now Don, we just found out, is like, I'm coming too. So we're literally going to have everybody here but Rob at my house.
I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rob.
It's okay. This is...
It's not okay, but I'm, you know, good spirit anyway.
Good spirit.
Things are better when we're all in one place together.
But this is true.
We can cause so much more damage that way.
Yeah, so I literally spent weeks working on my office. It's my pinned tweet on Twitter, twitter.com/bkilby. It's the pinned tweet. It's probably going to get destroyed this weekend. Yeah, that hurts to think about.
Why is Massey coming over too?
Yeah.
See, like, I don't have intention to actually destroy it. I'm more like, okay, which of these shelving units can I slide out and just turn around so that the back is facing out? Like, you know, weird things that, but not destructive.
Yeah, please don't. But let's see here. So that's
I need some help.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh yes.
So that's gonna be what, 5 of us here? So I happen to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 recording stations. So hey, we can have podcasting live. We can live stream. You want to live stream?
Yeah.
I assume we probably would do something like that.
That would be a lot of fun. I just need to position cameras.
So the chat seemed receptive last week to the pre-show only show idea.
Okay.
We could just kind of play with that since we're all going to just be there and sit around and
goof off.
You know, yeah.
So.
And that also relieves us having to come up with like a specific topic or, you know, focus for a show.
There you go. So we will be able to do that. That'll be a lot of fun. Hey, some other things we wanted to mention here at the top of the show. Hey, congratulations to Peter. So for those who have been listening for more than, 4 years?
Longer than that.
Peter's been gone 4 years? Okay. Well, Peter and his wife Carly just had a kid. So congratulations.
Awesome. Congratulations.
I don't talk to Peter anymore because he is like...
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's like he's just so busy and everything. So we just found out. So congratulations, Peter. We love you. And also, hey, WTF at TFW posted their 500th episode. So congratulations, guys. That's quite a milestone. Pretty awesome. And that's it. That's like all the little things I want to mention before we get into. Did anybody get anything this week? Diecast, go ahead.
I did. First thing I got was from Bobby Skullface. I picked up a iPhone cover.
Nice.
Yeah. And
so he had a table there.
He had a table there. Yeah, doing his wares and stuff. Neat. And
did you get a blanket? Did he still have the blankets?
He had blankets. Yeah, I'm not sure which ones he had.
I need to buy one of his blankets.
I buy a blanket every time I see Bobby.
That is such a weird sentence without any greater context. I need to buy one of Bobby Skullface's blankets. I always buy one of Bobby Skullface's blankets. I don't always buy blankets, but when I do, it's Bobby Skullface's blankets.
I also got a silver streak with coin for only $40, which I thought, was a pretty good pickup.
That's a KO then, right?
That is a pretty good pickup.
No, not with the coin.
The silver?
Nice, really.
I don't remember the box looking like that.
Yeah, my box doesn't look like that.
Well, no, this is the coin in front of it. Like, here is the out of the box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry, wait. It's in bubble wrap. I didn't open it up yet.
I'm trying to remember if I have that. What's the designation?
MP18S.
S.
I'm pretty sure I have that.
I have him. He's back here with the rest of mine.
I mean, blue streak right is the better one, which I have.
I have that for sure.
The silver one was one I wasn't too interested in because it's just all silver. But I'm like, for $40 for the official, yeah, I'll pick it up. And then I also got something, a little something.
Oh, nice.
I got...
How much was it?
Cybertron Starscream.
The original Cybertron Starscream.
The original.
Yeah, how much was it?
He was 50.
That's retail.
I mean, compared to what the Platinum one cost, that's good.
And with inflation, you spent less, so congratulations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had that one, and before my wife moved into the old house, my attic was storage, and the rubber feet totally warped, and I just got mad and threw it out. So I've been wanting another one to replace it, and I've just never pulled the trigger on it.
So I've gotten rid of a lot of stuff over the years that I wish I had kept. That's not on the list of things that I regret selling.
Different strokes for different folks.
It's true.
And then to fill in for Don, since he's not here, I also picked up a Marvel Legends Deadpool while I was at the show.
Is that the HasCon one?
This is not the HasCon one. This is the one that just started hitting Toys R Us's and stuff.
Okay, so it's because it's got that packaging. Is that like the pack? Is that like a movie? Is that like for the movie, or is that just a normal Marvel Legends?
It's just Marvel Legends special, exclusive to at least Toys R Us. I think it might be somewhere else too, maybe like GameStop or something. But it's a Deadpool Venom. Then he has a Venom head, and yeah, it's pretty cool. So, but figured I'd just fill in for Don and throw that in there. But yeah, that's all.
Which Sailor Moon figure did you get?
I got the Uranus.
Okay, Chris, did you get anything?
But they're actually in the Sailor Uranus.
I know that.
Oh wow!
I guess I thought he was being all clever, but no, foiled again by Japan. So nothing this week, but since I wasn't here last week, I just want to mention the stuff you mentioned in my place last week, which was kind of weird. So Paladin bought me this Terminator Genisys Mega Bloks kit off of my Amazon wish list because I was having a fairly terrible time the last couple weeks on and off, so I really appreciate that. I'm going to look forward to putting this together because it looks like a lot of fun as a build and once it's actually assembled. I also got my final Amazon Japan pre-orders came in, and it's the Decepticon clone set. I have not had a chance to open these yet because for the Legend stuff, I tend to do in-package photos with the galleries, and it's generally been way the hell too hot in here lately to really do any protracted photography, so those are just kind of hanging out waiting for a better day.
Cool.
But I think that's all.
So I
how many you got two?
Troop building. They're clones.
Okay.
So I realized that I ordered the Takara Tomy Cybertron or Autobot set, but not the Decepticon clone set.
Oops.
I don't know. I don't even know why I bothered with the Autobot set.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, that mismatch of pink and red doesn't really look that good.
Yeah.
Oh.
And something else I ordered. I ended up ordering two of the G2 Megatrons. So I'm gonna have to. I need to sell.
You know,
he's
a triple changer. You should get a third one, one for each mode.
No.
Wait. Do you have a? Do you have Octane?
Yeah,
the Takara Octane.
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, never mind.
I'm pretty sure I do.
Maybe we should talk about that G2 Megatron problem at some later point.
Okay. So yeah, Matt, did you get anything?
I did. In celebration of the Hasbro acquisition of Power Rangers, I got a Takumi Sentai Go Busters Morph Embrace.
Yay!
All right.
Isn't that a great toy?
It is.
You know, this,
of course, my wrist is too damn fat to...
This is painful. This is very, very painful.
Good.
Good.
I've been wearing this for 20 minutes, and now I can take it off.
So. No, okay, so like with my Astromorpher, my Japanese Astromorpher, which is not an Astromorpher in Japan, but I call it that just for ease of conversation, which this explanation completely defeats the purpose of, that does not fit around my wrist either. I have to actually add an extra length of Velcro to get one side to link to the other.
I need to do that for my Gone Morpher.
Unfortunately, they changed the way the straps work, I think around 2012 or so when this came out, or it might have been a little earlier, and they're not Velcro anymore, so you can't really adapt them as easily anymore.
Yes, I got it off, and now I have a nice imprint on my arm where the brace was.
I used to have permanent imprints, well, semi-permanent imprints on my wrist from when I used to wear a watch full-time.
Okay. Interesting. Anything else?
No, I just had to mention something Power Rangers just for you, Brian.
Rob, did you get anything?
Wait till next week.
Oh, boy.
Anything?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing, me neither. I don't think I did anyway. Walmart was... We talked about this. I went to Walmart. Nothing. Nothing.
It's funny. Like, weeks ago, I went checking for Walmart when the Wave 2 Power of the Prime Deluxes started showing up there. And two or three other people on Twitter just said to me, yeah, that all of the Walmarts in Central Maryland suck. So, like, everywhere else in Maryland, they showed up, except in the greater Baltimore area, which is the area I have access to.
Yeah, I picked mine up in Western Maryland, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have some inside information that Don may have found Power of the Prime's Wave 2 Voyagers recently.
Really? Hmm.
Is that so?
Interesting.
But that might mean it, you know, will be worth making some stops on the drive to North Carolina, which I would have done anyway because, you know, long drive.
Okay, so I'm looking at the show notes. Thank you, Chris, for pulling them together. Is that really the big news of the week?
I don't remember what I put there, so...
The vinyl soundtrack?
Okay, well, look through the other stuff and see if you think something is bigger.
Oh, absolutely do, so I'm going to move it right now. That's definitely worth talking about, but the Australia stuff is bigger. Okay, so this week in history, 2010, The Revenge of the Fallen is awarded three Razzies for worst director, worst screenplay, and worst film. Very well deserving, that movie.
We should.
Diecast didn't read the show notes, did he?
The Razzies.
We should watch it this weekend.
If it were warmer, I would put the projector up and then specifically not play it just to piss you off. So I would like. Oh, here it is.
I was gonna say if you were gonna run Revenge of the Fallen, I think me and Matt would end up going bowling or the cookout or something.
We are going bowling.
Yeah,
and the place
we go again.
We are going to cookout.
Yeah, we're going to cookout.
Non-negotiable.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cookout's not so special to me because I can go there literally anytime I want to because there's one in town.
Oh,
I can go to Cookout more often than I can go to Jack in the Box, and that just makes me mad.
Guys, I want you to know that Kim and I are renewing our Sam's Club membership just so we can get a case of cheer wine and class
All bottle. Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Nice.
Yeah, we're doing that tomorrow. Okay.
I guess I'll be drinking caffeine this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to mention before we move on that since I don't see it in the show notes that the Last Night did not win any Razzies whatsoever, even though it was nominated in multiple categories.
I was going to bring that up in relation to this item, so I mean, that worked just as well.
Yeah, like I said on Twitter, I think the fact that the Last Night is not even worth dunking on anymore is probably the clearest we're done here for the Michael Bay era of Transformers movies that we can imagine.
So I'm thinking on this that the real problem here is that it was up the same year as the Emoji Movie, which was destined to sweep the Razzies.
That's true.
I think if that had not been the case, it would have taken at least one category.
Didn't The Rock win
director
for something for Baywatch?
No, I think the only thing Baywatch won was, movie you love to hate or something, or is so bad you love it.
I didn't hate it.
It was something along that line. Yeah. It's where it's almost so bad it's good.
I hated the trailer so much I wouldn't even watch the movie.
I've never cared about Baywatch, so I mean, why would I?
Well, it's not a movie about Baywatch. It's the whole, 90s... cliche where you take a license and then you just make a terrible movie about it to cash in.
Okay, but see, that's already been done better by the Brady Bunch movie.
You're exactly right.
Twice. Done better twice.
Yeah, because the very Brady sequel is also quite good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Baywatch was in that theme more so than just like a straight up take it Baywatch.
Okay, but again, I don't care about Baywatch.
Me neither, but it has The Rock in it.
What doesn't have The Rock in it?
And it has David Hasselhoff in it.
I was going to say.
Okay, that's a little bit more rare. He mostly just does the talk show circuit anymore.
Yes. Okay, so the big news. Australia Toy Fair. Power of the Prime reveals. So, guess what? We're getting Outback. Thank God.
As Outback.
Surprisingly
Autobot.
Enough,
Autobot Outback.
Okay, so... putting the Autobot or Decepticon prefix in front of a name doesn't fix a trademark challenge if there's a legitimate challenge. Like, if somebody else owns Outback in enough categories to cover that, just putting Autobot in front of it wouldn't make it pass. So Hasbro Legal at this point must feel pretty confident that their usage is justified and defensible here.
Oh, it seems like they do that on an awful lot of characters that they aren't sure about or haven't used the name in a while.
So when that comes up, it's usually because it's the name is a fairly common use word, which by itself would be very difficult or impossible to legally defend. So Jazz, for example, conceptually, this wouldn't really happen because there'd be other ways probably to, put a stop to it. But somebody else could presumably sell a robot car called Jazz or some variation on Jazz. Jazz is a common use word, in combinations, it would be something that Hasbro could fight, but it's stronger if they got more of a dig on the name than just the word.
We're also getting Cindersore from Slash and Inferno.
I'm not feeling that Cindersore one.
I'm not feeling Inferno.
I like Inferno.
I may have to get Inferno into a head swap.
Yeah. I mean, I know why. But, yeah, so.
It would make a good host head, potentially.
Hmm.
I think there's an adapter for that.
I am. But I'm ecstatic, though, about Outback.
Outback, because the colors are great.
Really good.
Yeah.
I think the colors come across much better than Brawn.
Yeah.
The only problem now is I want the Titan Master Brawn to also get a new face to be Titan Master Outback, so Outback can ride inside Outback like Brawn can ride inside Brawn.
So which mini-boss are we missing at this point in the last couple years?
Warpath, Cliffjumper, and his assorted repaints.
Huffer and Pipes.
When was the last time we got Warpath?
No, we do have the Huffer and Pipes.
Huffer, Warpath, and Pipes are all you know, existing mold retools that are fairly character inappropriate.
Yeah,
like they're back still ones in need of specific to them toys.
Yeah, they're all back from when Legends was kind of a class unto itself and not meant to really go along with the other size classes that exist at the moment. Likewise, I think the only Legends Cliff Jumper we have has the same problem. And also, it's just another Bumblebee recolor, which means it's not really quite what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as far as I know, we're down to Huffer, Pipes, Cliff Jumper, and Warpath. Like we got that close before Power of the Primes got cut short.
Yeah, sad. Okay, well, you know, I really like Outback, so that makes.
Oh. But at least we got Cosmos and Sea Spray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, we sure did. I like Sea Spray. Cosmos is okay.
Cosmos is not my favorite.
You guys are weird.
But it's still the best Cosmos there is, pretty much. So
also, if you get the re-release of that Cosmos mold, it does actually have the mold change from Combiner Wars Scrounge so that you can fit it on 5mm pegs.
I can't remember if I bought it or not, so I might as well just buy it next time I see it.
I keep seeing it at Walmart.
You have five of them.
Yeah.
Because you've thought that like three times before.
Yeah. So I'm maybe I did. I need to go look at my my generation shelves. Okay, so we have Studio Series Thundercracker Toys R Us exclusive in package. So there you go. I think I have probably the one. Maybe I might get a couple more of the Studio Series, but not really feeling it.
I mean, no. I'll get this because I already like the mold. The blue on it looks really nice. And I know this isn't like teeny tiny for its price point.
It's a good mold.
It is.
Yeah.
Hopefully it still has the removable head, but I can't imagine they'd retool that out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got it. I would assume it has the removable head.
You know, if I didn't, I mean, like in robot mode, clearly, but in vehicle mode, that is a very, very, very passable Thundercracker.
Yeah. I'm kind of a cipher in that I do not like the gray stripes on the wings meant to emulate the 1984 toys intakes. It's just not at all necessary.
It sure is this design team, though.
It is very much this design team.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if it was like, you know, Combiner Wars Optimus that had the gray chunks because those were unpaintable plastics, which tend to all go on one sprue together and need to be gray other places. So you're just kind of stuck with it. But I'm pretty sure those wing parts can take paint.
Yeah.
So let's see here, moving along. We're getting finally the Transformers G1 soundtrack. It's not the entire soundtrack. It's selected tracks, but it's going to go on sale Friday on vinyl.
And apparently at the moment,
vinyl... Which means there's a good chance by the time you're listening to this episode, it's already on sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like at the moment, a vinyl is the only release format planned for this. So if you want an official release of any of the G1 soundtrack, you will want to be going after one of the 2,000 total copies of this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get it. It's I like vinyl and I like the look of it, and I'm not. But I mean, I was describing to a friend last night that I like vinyl for music that was mastered for vinyl. This was mastered for Betamax. So.
Oh, how great would that be if they did a limited Betamax release of this?
That would be awesome.
That would be great.
not that I would encourage piracy, but the tfcog.com has the pristine remastered MP3s or WAV files that were produced as part of that Kickstarter. I would definitely buy this, but if you want the complete soundtrack,
you know, easily available digital versions for listening literally anywhere that's not your home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's pretty impressive. So I actually happen to use those on the show from time to time. So
vinyls?
No, the one from TFCOG. Yeah. So the work done on that was excellent. I mean, there were software used and techniques used that I've never even heard of that basically lifted that music from a rather dull, low fidelity sound to being crisp and clean and clear. Like it's basically magic.
Yeah, one of the things I really like about projects like that in general is when there's like comprehensive project notes, release notes, whatever you want to call it, that go into what they did to achieve their ends. Because you can often learn a lot of stuff just from that, even if you're not specifically interested in what they were doing. The how, the process of it is often really, really interesting.
I also have the CD set from Japan that was released several years back. That, if you want it digitally, that's also... I think you'll have to pay quite a bit for it at this point, but...
Yeah, probably.
But that's also worth it. But if you like vinyl, or you want the soundtrack, or you just want something cool to put on your wall, I would definitely pick it up.
Cool to put on the wall.
Like, let's see here. Well, my
with a crappy player, so I can listen.
For my pick, if you're watching my video right here, I'm pointing at the last release of Transformers the movie on vinyl right there.
Is that frame? Did you frame that?
I bought a frame for it.
Nice.
And below it, right there, is my original copy of Superman versus Muhammad Ali. So, yeah, Don actually has the original. I've never picked up the original soundtrack on vinyl. Don lucked into it. I've just basically been looking for a copy on eBay for less than $50, and eventually, hopefully,
someday.
Yeah, I'll find one that was posted in the wrong category and be able to snatch it up. I guess I need that and that original Laserdisc release of Transformers the movie. I should get that before I die. So, I've been wanting that for 20 years, so, or more than 20 years at this point. My favorite thing all week. We have Cyber Battalion Shockwave. Cyber Battalion is the line that's like a really simplistic, Voyager-ish sized figure. The ones here in the US, they've been released at, Walgreens
and Universal Studios Store. Yeah.
I love this Shockwave.
It looks good.
There's one problem.
Mm-hmm.
No knees.
Yeah,
it's so pretty though.
With the no knees, I mean, it's way better than any Shockwave we've gotten in recent years. I'd actually consider this one.
If I ever see it at Walgreens, I mean, there's definitely potential there. Maybe some knees can be added to it.
Now, the Sideswipe that was also that popped up is hideous.
No, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know about it as a Sideswipe per se, but like the overall styling, I don't have a problem with.
So it looks like Windcharger to me. So if you gave it a different head,
which is interesting because Windcharger traditionally doesn't have a hood chest.
Yeah, no, but Prowl and Blue Streak and Smokescreen do. This looks more like suspicion. It should be one of those characters.
There's suspicion that this might be a retool from the Cyber Battalion Prowl.
The vehicle to me looks definitely like a Corvette and not whatever the hell. He was a Lamborghini?
Yeah, he was a Lamborghini.
Yeah, so it looks very Corvette-ish.
That
looks like a Charger.
It looks like a... It looks like a Charger that has been stretched out.
And a front-end collision.
Yes. Yes.
That Shockwave, I'm interested to see if you can make a gun mode out of it.
A lifted Corvette. That's how I would describe it. So if you lifted it, that's what it would look like.
I still don't see Corvette in that body shape. Also, I'm curious if there's an upside-down submarine to be had in Shockwave.
I'm certain there is.
Like, I would get it just to try and find out.
Well, okay, so, I mean, we need to face facts here. It's also, like, the best G1 Shockwave figure we have ever had since G1 Shockwave.
Masterpiece.
Too complicated.
Okay.
And expensive.
It's not actually that complicated. It is a little smaller than I would like for a Shockwave.
How much does it go for?
How much time does it take you to transform Masterpiece Shockwave, Matt?
I haven't transformed him since I got him, so I don't know.
He's too complicated.
Right there.
If you haven't transformed it since you got it, that means it's too complicated.
I haven't transformed G1.
No, it means true. it means I transformed him and stood him with the Rainmakers. So,
but he also turns into a ray gun, and there's no reason to not want to put it back into ray gun mode and act like a 5-year-old from time to time.
I haven't
lost it too much trouble.
I haven't transformed
it from robot.
I haven't transformed G1 Rodimus Prime since I got it.
Yeah, but there's problems with you.
Okay.
You're a damaged human being, Brian.
Rob, what were you going to say?
Oh, just also, I figured out who that side soap would be perfect as. Overdrive.
Yes.
I think I've heard somebody say that before.
Okay. What else we got here?
Now, being quasi-Voyager size would be too big to fit in with anything else, but, you know.
Yeah.
Power of the Primes, Wave 3 and 4 packaging images for Pretty King, Nova Star, and Prime Masters.
Yeah. I just figured if I didn't put that in there, somebody would complain that we didn't talk about it.
So
I acknowledge it's not that exciting.
So the thing that gets me is every time I see that Optimal Optimus, it's kind of like I've got a perfectly good Optimal Optimus, the original one that is, but I don't hate it. It's just not what I wanted. But
maybe it's what you needed.
Yeah, I know. But there are people out there like Eric who wasn't even alive when that toy came out.
Oh, he wasn't, was he?
I don't think so.
I'll pick up Optimal Optimus. I don't think it's a, you know.
Now if they repainted a Super Primal Prime, I will be happy.
I'm going to keep it in surfboard mode.
Because it's been a while since I mentioned this story, I own the same Super Primal Prime twice. You guys remember that story? I sold it to somebody on Alt Toys Transformers. This was like in 2001. I guess it was 2001. Then like 2 years later, I saw him selling it on Alt Toys Transformers. I'm like, I'll buy it. So I bought it back from him, basically what I paid for it. And I sold it again. And I kind of wish I hadn't, because it actually goes for quite a bit now, if I remember correctly. It was not.
Yeah, if they did Primal Prime off of that, the little Optimus could be Ape Link.
Oh, yeah.
That'll never happen, but, yeah. You know, it'd be a... If we had a BotCon, we could guarantee we would see that eventually, because, like, you know, that was one thing that the FunPub guys actually kind of did as they were going along. They wanted to, like, revisit that Ape Link concept. So I know they had desire to do something like that, but alas, no BotCon.
Hey, real quick. I just had a realization. I want to go back and explain something. The reason I think that in vehicle mode, that sideswipe looks like a Corvette is because nothing is sleek and aerodynamic in the Cyber Battalion toys. They're all boxy. So it's like a boxy Corvette. Okay, so next thing, we have Takara Tomy Power of the Primes August release images. So we have the flight mode revealed. And, God, there's a lot of photos here.
Yeah, it's the first time we've seen the flight mode since the initial reveal of the Optimal Optimus when they had the CAD models on the projector at HasCon. Subsequently, they have not shown that mode off in any presentation again.
Is this it?
It looks like he's laying down with his wings spread.
No, that's him with the wings. They should also show him without the wings. Where's the jet? I don't see the jet.
It is way back in the gallery because of a numbering issue I had when I was uploading.
Oh, it's more than 2 pages. Okay, that's why I didn't see it. I'm like, that's just him with wings.
For some Transformers, that is a flight mode.
That is. So, you know, that's not far off from the original. Except
it's really not.
It's got that Optimus Primal tumor growing out the back of it. Oh, yeah. But, I mean.
Well, it's like a baboon butt.
Yeah.
But if it was the Primal Prime, it would even be the right color.
The wings, though, on the original toy are more prominent, if I remember right, in that mode.
Yeah, they're bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think that might be slightly mistransformed, because I think that has the right jointing to pull the arms out from the body like the original a little bit, too.
I don't transform that toy anymore, not because it's too complicated, but because
because there's plastic decay issues to consider now.
Yeah.
You guys are going to hate that I'm going to say this, but I like the
titanium. What else is new, Diecast?
I like the titanium one.
I own one two titaniums, and only one is a transforming one.
I have two transforming titaniums that I'm aware of because I can see both of them right now. I might have another one somewhere. It's the Rodimus Prime and the Robots in Disguise Optimus, which are arguably among the best produced for that line, which is kind of saying something.
Yeah.
I have thought from time to time about getting the Titanium's Optimal Optimus, though, just because I'd like to see the different take on that already super simplistic design. It's I hear people say really that Beast Machine's Cheetor is really good too, though.
Do I have that? I don't know if I have that one. Because I was kind of all in on.
I'm sure you like it better than Ultra Magnus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ultra the Magnus. Tragedy of Diecast and his titanium Ultra Magnus.
So we have from Takartomi.
That was a Shardicon story, right? Like that happened at Shardicon, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it did.
Shardicon is still my favorite convention. So
he was so happy to find that thing.
Official.
Yeah, so and then excited. He actually handled it.
It was a holy grail. Normally, even you get a holy grail, and you're like, I don't care how crappy it is. I've wanted this for such a long time, and I totally the opposite reaction.
Yeah, no, you get the holy grail. You got one of the decoy cups.
Yes, you chose poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, official photos of Alita Infinite and Abominus from Takaratomi. That Abominus is gorgeous.
Abominus looks amazing.
I don't want it to look that nice because so good. I still, 50% don't want the Terracons.
Then you're wrong.
It's nice looking. Yeah.
Love it.
Love it. I those love, heels, love though. That.
Well, that was always going to be a problem. Yeah. Since they decided to color code the hands.
Yeah.
I can get past that,
I can live with it.
I'm sure there'll be new hands and feet for all these guys.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course...
Now, the Alita Infinite, I don't care for, but that's, I think, more because the fact it has Dinobot arms than anything else.
So
that just doesn't look right with everything else.
They don't blend well.
So this is just a stock photo, I'm assuming that they have her just randomly paired with...
With limbs. What's available.
Yeah, so it's not like this is a box set. They're not doing box sets at all, are they?
Not that we know of.
They're not, but I understand Takaratomi Mall is going to offer sets. I think they're going to offer the Abominus, the Terracons for purchase as a set together, but they're not a box set.
Okay, they'll just sell them together.
Yeah.
Okay. Disappointing.
Well, I mean, it is disappointing, but I hate to say it. I mean, we're getting into an era where a lot of things about Transformers are more disappointing than not.
Hey, so Chris, so this next story, there's a lot of text in it, and you wrote it, so just tell us about it. The Bumblebee movie, Energon Igniter's play pattern details.
Revealed. Oh, okay, so the Energon Igniter's, which, we've heard about through inventory data leaks and stuff for a while, but have no information on. Apparently from... the information in an Amazon India listing, so that's a new one for us. It's going to basically be the same thing as the AllSpark Tech line, but dumbed down. So, the AllSpark Tech, you put the block in and it does electronic stuff. From the sound of the blurb, this is going to be more like the G2 Power Masters, where you plug the block in and it unlocks an action feature of some kind.
I'm so glad they're doing that, because those power ones sold so well.
Yeah, they're a real hot ticket item. that's basically what it boils down to. Stick the block in, it might have motion action or do something like that, flip a weapon out. We don't have a whole lot of specifics, but it seems to be in that vein more than an electronic feature. So it's actually AllSpark Tech, but arguably worse for the same price.
So, I'm sorry to yeah, that's awesome. In the chat, Sean Hamilton asked if Shardicon was a convention about sharding. And
I mean, that joke, unfortunately, yeah, did come up.
Well, so Rodimus Supreme, of course, responded with shock that Sean didn't know what it was. But I do remember when we had Eric and Jake on the show to talk about Shardicon, and JD brought it up, and Eric was appalled and Jake was laughing. That was such a great moment. Oh, that was a great moment. I should go back and find that.
That was one of JD's special talents. He could shock and awe all in the same moment.
Yeah.
Shardicon wasn't the actual name. That's the name we all use.
No, was the actual name.
They pronounced it Sharkticon, but going by the spelling they gave us, they were wrong.
Yeah. And I got Mike to produce a radio spot for them. I need to dig that out if I have it. And I'm pretty sure he said Shardicon.
Because that's how it's written.
That's how it's written.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
They tried to do the Sharkticon thing as much as they could.
And combine it with Charlotte, but it didn't. Yeah. I mean,
they relented on the pronunciation eventually anyway. Yeah.
Charlotte's such a great spot for a convention, just saying. Okay, so GT11 Red Bull, the unofficial sideswipe that turns into a robot bull.
I actually really like this.
Didn't we foresee this years ago?
So originally this was some like art book thing. So I think you're probably thinking of that more. Like there's a whole art book or part of an art book that's G1 characters reimagined with robotic animal modes.
Okay, yeah, because this looks incredibly familiar to me.
It surprised me. I was like, whoa, that's interesting. Although this is the company that's doing the weird Optimus, or the Beast Optimus, I guess you could say. So
this is one of those things
from the same art book.
Yeah. I want to applaud third parties for doing stuff like this.
Yes.
But at the same time, it doesn't sell.
Yeah, I don't need it. So. Sorry.
So if you wish to, convince them to keep doing things like this, you should probably buy one.
It's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, Diecast, I think you need to buy one of these.
I mean, there's a reason that third parties kind of collapsed, where largely what is being done is Masterpiece compatible things, because
that's what they people buy.
Yeah, they go with something that people already own. So,
I had a conversation about this on Twitter some time back, and it's a really simple concept. The third party has fallen into the Masterpiece hole more than anything else, because the people who want to have really complete Masterpiece collections are the people with the money to spend on third party stuff.
Yeah.
For the money third party stuff costs. Yeah, I know. But you spend money on literally everything, Diecast. You're insane.
But I want to have a really complete Masterpiece collection. Yeah. I want to have a really complete Masterpiece collection, but I have patience. So
you also have 20 Seekers. So 11. You have a problem.
11.
You have 11 of the Seekers? 11 Masterpiece Seekers.
They're all right behind me.
11 official Masterpiece Seekers. I didn't realize you had that many. I have
maybe it's 10. Hold on, let me count.
I have 4.
10.
Okay.
I have Skywarp. I have Skywarp, Thundercracker, Starscream, and Ramjet.
Wait, how do you have 10?
Acid Earthrust. Storm.
Okay, so I have Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker, and Takara Sunstorm, Thrusters, and Ramjet. That's 7.
Yeah.
And then I have Hasbro Sunstorm and Takara Thundercracker to go with Acid Storm as Rainmakers.
Ah.
Maybe I have Thrust and Ramjet.
That's too many Seekers, though.
I think that I have all of the, except for the BotCon versions, all of the Deluxe Seeker molds, which is way easier. Yeah.
I didn't even do that, and I started selling off my classic Seekers. Like, I sold the Conehead ones, because those have not been adequately replaced ever. But like when the War for Cybertron Deluxe Starscream came out and its recolors were a thing, I decided to dump the classic Seeker version of those characters and just let the War for Cybertron ones be in there because I like that mold so substantially much better.
I said I don't have the BotCon ones, but I do have the BotCons that were sold in the bag. So like the G2 Ramjet.
Oh, yeah.
So I have those and, So
G2 Ramjet was a
club
figure. Yeah. But
so I guess I'm talking about Action Master Thundercracker. So Action Master Thundercracker and the Rainmakers. I have those, and I have to say, how I got those is the best thing ever. I got them from Don on eBay when he put them in the wrong category.
Oh.
So I bought them at cost, which means he lost money on it.
Oh,
and if it was, you know, this was pre-Dononomics being like codified, so if Don never talks about that,
it probably still keeps him awake at night.
It probably does. That was after he was on the show. He was on the show at that point.
Back to the premise we started with. I really strongly feel that third party has focused in heavily on Masterpiece because that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. People are willing to spend that kind of money on that grade of figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, not just that's where the money is, but it seems like that's where the cost and complexity let them be generally comparable to what Takara charges for a similarly sized figure.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm trying to say, but not expressing it as clearly. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, when you look back when third party first started, you were getting classic size.
You were getting discs from Unicron.com.
For like $60 or $70, and to move up the Masterpiece scale, it's only like $20 more, and you're getting a larger, more complex, you know, better looking figure.
Yeah, no, Unicron.com was on the leading edge with this because they had that accessory pack they did.
It's awesome. Yeah,
years
ago. But no, diecast, your point still stands. I was just pointing out that third party came way before that. Like, well, 20 years before that.
I mean, yeah.
So, okay. So, what else we got going on here? That's it. So, for the news. Thanks to Amazon. Do you know you can buy everything from Amazon? I'm almost ashamed to admit what I finally broke down and bought on Amazon, but I'm going to tell you. I finally bought that bidet attachment. And you can try it this weekend, because I'll have it tomorrow. Next day shipping.
Oh, thank you.
I don't hear it's awesome. I hear it's awesome. Plus,
This isn't the get-together experience I was really expecting.
Well, no. Yeah, I'm not going to like walk you through it. You'll have to figure it out yourself.
That's okay, leaving us unattended in your bathroom with a bidet attached is asking for trouble.
It really is. It really is. But
I wonder if there's a water pressure setting.
Yes, there is. That's how it works. So, but you can buy... That just goes to show you can buy anything from Amazon. Just about. TFRadio.net.
I would say you can buy anything, because there's like always that one specific example I come back to that I can't actually talk about on the show anymore, but it really proves you can buy anything.
So, yeah, like, the reason I bought that is because a friend, a dear, close, personal friend, you can actually buy caskets. I just checked. Just search casket on Amazon, and you can buy that. $900, that's much cheaper than going through the funeral home. So, but a friend bought that, and I'm like, yes, we can't talk about that. But a friend bought that, and I'm like, why did you buy that? And I'm like, no, the question is, why haven't I bought that? So, tfradio.net/Amazon, you can buy anything and everything. And, like, the couple cents from whatever you buy comes back to us and helps us out.
And plus, if you buy a casket now, you're actually saving money, because when you need it 40, 50 years down the line, it's probably going to be more expensive.
And
you can just use it for storage right now.
It'll be more expensive, but when you think about the cost of inflation and everything and what you can actually get a good interest rate on, it's probably not worth, you know, buying that far in advance. But, you know, if you just want one to sleep in, if you're, like, really creepy, I mean, why not? you know.
Honey, I'm going to bed.
I'm going to, yeah. TF, TF.
Hey, you know, when you think about it, it's probably pretty cozy.
Yeah, Grandpa Munster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I put that Grandpa Munster action figure. This is going on the Massey Attack wish list right now.
A casket?
Yes, casket.
I wish we had more you know, wealthy listeners, just so somebody would be inclined to send Don a casket as a joke. Yeah. But I think the price tag on that is too much.
Can
of an
you
ask
imagine
just for that?
That would be hysterical.
Okay, so
Don, you got a delivery
on Don's wish list. I above the Mallow cups, I have added a $920 casket. There you go.
Nice.
Do you think Don ever looks at that wish list?
Considering
no.
Considering he's type 2, putting the casket next to the Mallow cups is actually pretty appropriate.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. So, we have anything for the network this week? No. So the only one thing, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Well, about the only thing is I have the, this week's installment of the Brands of Transformers is Milton Bradley, which had a very long history as an individual toy manufacturer. And here in the U.S., not a lot of connection with Transformers, but they were Hasbro's main distribution channel for G1 throughout a lot of Europe. So,
Yeah.
So that's about it.
That's interesting. I never knew that. I thought it was Milton Bradley was strictly like a game company.
Well, yeah, apparently, when like right after Hasbro bought them in 1984, luckily enough, they had much better distribution channels in Europe than, Hasbro did. So Hasbro, put them to work, for G1.
Yeah.
And also just, there's some interesting bizarreness on the, TF Wiki Milton Bradley page about, the Diaclone license and how it relates to Milton Bradley and why Optimus Prime was relegated to Wave 2 and kind of hard to get a hold of in certain parts of Europe. Probably
I have heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably because another toy company had the license for the mold through Diaclone. So,
yeah. Yep. And, you know how I heard that? That was in the Skyfire/Jetfire thing that McFeely did on YouTube. It was actually really good.
Yeah, because Jetfire was basically promoted as the Autobot leader up until the point they were able to release Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Ah. Yeah, everybody look up the basics on YouTube. That. It's a really good series.
Yeah, I need to catch up, clearly.
Because, all that information that's on the Transformers Wiki, you can get in this really excellent video presentation style with McFeely's wonderful voice telling it all to you in your ears. And it's really brilliant.
You used to be able to get it on Radio Free Cybertron each week on our segment, What's on the Wiki.
That's why did we stop doing that?
I think because JD quit doing the comic podcast. Yeah, the comic podcast with McFeely.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's too late to bring that back. Sadness. Okay. So, if you liked What's on the Wiki this week, which we haven't done in 8 years, check out Transformers the Basics on YouTube. It's definitely worth watching. Hey.
So there will be another thing on T-Formers this week. I'm working on something that's going to go up on Friday that basically commemorates a special anniversary in Transformers. So be looking for that. It'll go up pretty early on Friday because I'm planning to post it before I drive out of here in the morning.
Sweet. Hey, Chris, what's on the network this week?
I think you mean what's on RPG Lessons Learned this week, because that's the only damn show you posted.
I have a couple to post, but I haven't been given a chance to.
That hasn't really helped us so far, has it?
Hey, no.
So RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 44, Pathfinder Beginner Box Campaign, Data-Driven Retrospective. This week, Dusty, Brian, and Mike do a data-driven postmortem on their Pathfinder Beginner Box Campaign. Dusty mined his post-game recap emails to take a look at two simple measures of the campaign, experience points and gold pieces. The results are surprising. Or so I assume, based on this write-up, because I don't listen to this show, I'm sorry.
You should. Hey, Diecast, did you...
Not really in my interest area, sorry.
You know, I've heard people like Jason say that, but he listens anyway.
Okay, but I mean, Jason is Jason and I'm not.
That's true. Hey, Diecast, any reviews on RSC reviews this week?
I haven't gotten anything really to review. And
want to review any more of the Studio Series stuff?
Yeah, and JCC kind of killed some time over the weekend, and this weekend's not looking too good either. So
no, it's not.
I apologize.
Brian has recording equipment.
Pull something off my shelf and review that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Maybe we'll
something
do that.
Fragile and expensive.
I'm looking at a Bobby Heenan action figure right now. You should review that.
Hey, you have a Mint on Card G2 Slingshot, right?
It's not Mint on Card.
Is it on card?
It's that's even better.
Yeah. What do you have
that's open. On card?
I open what? Most of my stuff. Like the only G1 thing I have on card is the Hot Rod Patrol.
Well, that's not a big deal. Those were easy to get for a while.
They're still easy to get. That's why I've had.
I don't really look into that. I just knew that a warehouse cache had been discovered at some.
It's right here on the shelf. Hot Rod Patrol.
Anyway, if G2 Slingshot's still around somewhere intact, that could totally work.
Yeah. Okay. That's tfradio.net/561. tfradio.net/561. That's where you can get all the show notes. And that actually, no, I don't list the RPG lessons learned. Actually, you know what? BrianKilby.com. I posted a follow up to the Taco Bell sinkhole expose. Plus, a story about the jumping off place, which is on the Wilkes and Ashe County line here in North Carolina. There's a famous murder that happened there 35 years ago. Me and Howard Vinoy talked about this very important story in Wilkes County history. BrianKilby.com on the Happy Daily. You need to check it out.
I actually listened to the Taco Bell update episode of the Happy Daily.
Are you dead?
Did they fill it in?
No, like you can't fill it in.
You can't?
It's kind of like a mini version of the Grand Canyon.
You can't just get dirt and just pour it in?
If you got enough material, eventually you probably could, get to pack in where it's not going to cave back in.
Then you would just create another hole somewhere else. You'd have to skim off all
why it's a sinkhole, because there's nothing underneath to hold the dirt up. So you'd have to pour more and more and more and more dirt in to.
There
must be an open pit mine somewhere around you that they can take the dirt from.
So it's literally, so like with the Grand Canyon, with the river running through, it's caused that. That's literally what the sinkhole is doing, except there's ground above it and it's falling.
Could they just get old, unused, wrecked NASCAR cars and dump them down there?
Tires and cars.
The thing is, people buy that stuff up because while I think that's junk, other people call that collectible.
Oh, yeah, like the tire scraps that they include with the SDCC movie Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. tfradio.net/561 to view the show notes. Our voicemail line is 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. You can follow us on Twitter at tfradio and on Facebook at facebook.com/tfradio. We are on Instagram at tfpodcast. We are also on Twitch if you're watching us live at tfradio. And you can find Rob Springer on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer. He's also at zonebase.org. John DeLuna is not here. He is that John D everywhere. I am at B Kilby on Twitter and at Brian Kilby on Instagram. I posted again all of my toy picks from my office. It's the pinned tweet at twitter.com/B Kilby. People really like that. And I don't think it looks
Your office looks pretty cool right now.
I think it looks pretty cool. But I don't think it's overwhelming with the amount of stuff. But people are disagreeing with me.
I think we here all have a different perspective on that, because I would tend to agree it's not overwhelming, especially since you got all straightened up now and it's all backed up against the walls and stuff. It all there's space to actually occupy in there now, and
yes,
it looks a lot more put together.
All five of us will be able to fit in here.
But I can understand how all the normies out there might have more of a problem with it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not overwhelming to us.
Yeah, that's why I led into this with, we have a different perspective.
Yeah.
So, Rob, how do people find you on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera?
I can be found at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
Now, how can people find you?
Okay, I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs, also on YouTube at Flail Throughs, where I am still working my way through Gundam Side Stories. And, of course, when we do video reviews, Chris and my work can be found on T-Formers TV at YouTube.
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning Don. Again, Don's not here at HMRC for EVR and on TFYLP. And though Don's not going to be at home Saturday night, I am going to make him do TFYLP for my house. Probably not. Okay.
No, we have to try.
Yes. Matt, how do people get a hold of you?
I don't know. How do they?
At Melvar, M-E-L-L-L-V-A-R-R on Twitter, 3 L's, 2 R's. Chris?
Hashtag Seacons before Unicron.
Hashtag Seacons before Unicron.
You can find me at Brian Kilby's house this weekend in North Carolina.
Yep, that'll be fun.
Tweet out the address.
No, please.
No, that's Don's job.
Yeah, and his credit card number. Diecast.
No, that's Janie's job, unfortunately. That's true. That's in the past now.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can also follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast and on YouTube. And watch all my wonderful, horribly wonderful videos at RFC Reviews. Yeah, that's what it's at.
TFRadio.net/review.
TFRadio.net.
Yeah, you should. I mean, it's important to get the actual YouTube channel identity out there, too. But you can probably you can stick with the short URL for the most part, too, I think.
So
save some time.
Save some time.
Also, maybe pre-prepare yourself a script to read for this part of the show, since, just have that in front of you that you can bullet points you can follow along with. So, where you're at it.
I should just just put that in the show notes, the bullets we should all follow.
Yeah.
Okay, you realize that the only two people who might follow that are you and Diecast.
Yeah, there you go.
And the rest of us will actively try to sabotage you.
Good point. So hopefully again,
the rest of us, I mean, Matt.
Hopefully again next week, between now and then, we will have the Joe Lanta Transformers panel featuring Rob Springer and Dusty Griffin. And God knows what we're going to produce this weekend. But
nothing good.
It'll be in the feed. We'll see you next week. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
I've got morons on my team!